Jeff Steinzer, national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, also at totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report's the weekly business show he does down in Iowa. And, of course, he joins us from KXEL, where we get the Iowa Politics Report. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, good afternoon, and welcome to a newly reopened country.
Well, good luck in Iowa. I saw that they're going to open gyms. Gyms? Yeah. Are you crazy?
Well, now you tell me.
Yes.
Because there was you don't even need the setup.
Yep, you are. Gyms, that's a bad idea.
There was a gym owner in Cedar Rapids, the second largest city, and one of the areas that had not previously seen any reopening. And he basically said, well, I don't care. I'm just going to open. So he opens. They arrest him. Well, first of all, he opened and then went on television to proudly say he was open. His competitors complained, and so the police went and gave him a citation, and the next day his business would be legal if he had just waited 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no social distancing. I mean, they were belling up to the juice bar or whatever you do. I'm not a fitness person. I have no idea. But it
juice
didn't
bar.
Appear that they were doing whatever it is. I don't know.
They're taking some jazzercise classes and their Zumbas.
See, you know the terms. That's more distressing, but – well, look, restaurant. The whole thing with restaurants, right? It is fair to say that your Eat Local Minnesota businesses have wonderful food.
Mm-hmm.
They are strong community supporters. But realistically, any restaurant has a tight margin.
Oh, very, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to be flip. It's
no, it's not. There's a lot of businesses that are built on very tight margins. Grocery stores as well. Very tight margins. You don't have a lot of wiggle room as far as shutting down for extended periods of time.
Well, and what you also don't have is a lot of margin when they say you can open, but only at 25 or 50% of capacity. Well, you're losing money at that point, right? I mean, because a lot of these business plans require 65, 75, 80%. Mm-hmm. And that's why they want to turn the table so much. And so it's really difficult for these businesses to say, well, sure, let's just open up. I do think we have a real rural-urban split in my state where some of these rural areas have very low incidences. The larger metro areas have much greater number of incidences. And so what these individual businesses are doing is saying, we're not going to open. There have already been a number of restaurants in the Des Moines area that, since the word came down at 11 o'clock this morning, have said, we appreciate the opportunity to open, but we yet don't think it's safe given our operation, and we're not going to do it. And that's fine. You know, I mean, that's great. It's the business's choice. Just like a week ago, Mike Pence brought the COVID to Iowa. Thank you very much. And as he sat down exposing those religious leaders to it, one of them, a rabbi, got up and said, well, I appreciate that you say that we should open up, but my congregation is made up predominantly of people who you have said are high risk. We're just not going to do it. I appreciate that we have the chance, but we're just not going to do it. And so it is their choice, and that is all well and good.
Well, and let me just bring up where this is going to go, because there is the Colorado, the CNC coffee thing out there that they reopened and they're packed for Mother's Day. And they're, of course, they're looking in the camera nice and smug and we're doing better than we thought we would. That sort of thing. But the reality is that when all of a sudden people start knocking on their door saying, hey, my mom got sick here, and all of a sudden half their staff is sick, and all these people are sick, and people are putting lawsuits on it, that same tough guy attitude is going to be, why is everybody coming after me? And I think the next step in this is some sort of, you know, and I'm have zero doubt this is going to come from the Republicans, a protective order that basically says, you know, if you go into a business that business owner who's begging you to come in, telling you to come in, the coronavirus is a myth, it's not real, get in here, have some food, sit down, you'll have a great time, that they're not culpable for that action. And the reality is that I think that, and you know, when you talk about Michigan, they had the case where all those clowns that went out and protested the Capitol took coronavirus back to these small towns where all of a sudden they're seeing massive spikes. You know, you really have to have some level of responsibility. Yeah, you want to open up, that's fine, But you are taking the consequences of doing that. If we're talking about personal responsibility, that has got to be the next step. And it's going to be interesting to see where that comes down.
I don't argue with the thing that you just said, and it's already been discussed, right? The business liability rule that would be slid into this. And this is where it gets tricky, right? You know, let's say that Matt McNeil's donut shop, all right, opens up, and you are holding yourself out as being open to the public. If you don't shovel your sidewalk and there's ice and somebody falls, who's responsible?
You are. Yeah.
Okay. What happens if somebody dumps a cup of coffee and your staff, probably made up of your poor children that you make work there, just like you make them do commercials?
Yes, indeed. That's what I do.
Child labor laws. If they don't mop it up and someone slips and falls, you're responsible. Okay, so if you even could legally, and this is me as a lawyer, I'm trying to figure a way, how do you write this? If in some way you tried to insulate the business from either employees or customers getting coronavirus, even if you could write that in, and I don't know how long does that go? I heard someone say, well, we could do the coronavirus exception until the end of the calendar year, or 6 months, or whatever it is. Well, what about the second surge? Yeah. What about any of these things? And I'm sorry, but what I call the sneeze guard that they have up at the check stand of the grocery store, okay, that's a nice idea, but I'm not trusting it. This is the thing that I always worry about with laws, and I now worry about it when people say, we've put plexiglass up or whatever. It gives people a false sense of security that everything is just fine and hunky-dory and you don't need to be careful. Mm-hmm. And nothing could be further from the truth. Well, I'm glad they have the spit guard up at the Hy-Vee, but I don't trust that.
Well,
it's going to save my life.
And it's got to be considered, it's part of it. It's part of the whole process, exactly. And you're right. There are some people that's like, well, that's why there was a run on hand sanitizer to begin with, where people are like, oh, I'll just bathe in hand sanitizer, I guess. And that was kind of the mentality. And it's like, well, no, that's not how this works. I think about, do you remember, was it in California, the gas station that had, what was it, a nacho cheese dispenser that ended up killing like four people or five people with botulism because they weren't, you know, it was obviously, you know, a cleaning issue there. And they actually tried to make the argument that they weren't responsible because the people, when they came in the store to, you know, they should have known better by getting cheese out of a push down thing in a gas station. And of course, they got laughed out of court, but that was their argument. You know, I don't know if I like the idea of giving a business owner that much leeway over, you know, in that much, you know, kind of a mulligan, you know, that they can open up, they could get, you know, 40, 50 people sick, including maybe wiping out one or two nursing homes, and there's not any culpability for them, even though they were saying, get in here, get in here, get in here.
No, that's why I don't like the business liability waiver, because what it could do, well, first of all, so here's Matt McNeil's donut shop.
Yes.
And I walk in and I get coronavirus. How do I trace it to your employees or your shop? Let's say, for example, again, you have the McNeil family, Swiss family McNeil is here, and they work at the shop, and none of them are symptomatic. None of them show any symptoms, but maybe you all have it. You're just a carrier. You don't have the symptoms of it. Well, you're taking precautions. I come in. I don't see any issue. How do I pin it on you? You may not even know that you have it and are spreading it. That's the big problem with so much of this. So from a legal standpoint, I don't know how I prove the case. Then beyond that, what if you had the sneeze guards, everybody wore masks and gloves in your employ? You even had a sign at the front that said, please take one of these free disposable masks. I want you to wear a mask when you come and get your jelly Bismarck. All right, so now as a business, I have taken all foreseeable, reasonable steps. What more am I supposed to do? That's kind of how it would go.
Well, and I think that's
in a normal situation, right?
Yeah.
But if you give me liability, Why am I going to have masks for you at the door? Why am I going to do any of this? Because I don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's actually a very good point. God, I never thought about it. You know, what's interesting is this, is that curbside pickup actually gives these restaurants a lot of clearance right there, because it becomes very difficult, I think, for anyone to make that cause. Because I'll go the other way, because – and just taking it from the other side of the court case. Mm-hmm. I go to the business owner, said, we hadn't taken my mother out of her house. She lives by herself. She has basically been secluded. We brought her out because you said bring her out for Mother's Day, for our Mother's Day brunch. We brought her out, and she's now sick. The only place she has been in the last 2 months is your restaurant. Regardless of whether or not you can put up a decent argument or could find something evidence to, you know, make something else, you know, seem like a viable option, you're still going to court, which brings then in the court cost. And then, of course, what's the point of it at this point? I think there is sometimes not giving these people the clearance to do this without any responsibility. And explaining, okay, from here on out, you know, we're not going to get involved with court cases. So if someone sues you, you know, you can defend yourself. But reality is that, you know, you're on your own if you reopen. I think that might be the case. And it might be, unfortunately, a situation where there has to be a sacrificial lamb of a business, where a business gets sued one way or the other. And then becomes the front page, you know, tabloid fodder. And then all the rest of the restaurants say, do we really want to go down this road?
Oh, absolutely right. I had a business lawyer as a guest in the Iowa Business Report, and it was not Iowa specific, advice that we were discussing, but it was, all right, what obligation does a business have in this era of COVID-19 when you reopen? Mm-hmm. What obligation do you have to your employees? What obligation do you have to customers? And it comes down to, if the CDC says you should do X, Y, and Z, and you either don't pay attention to what they say or you don't follow what they say, you have set yourself up for a costly lawsuit, and as you noted quite accurately, even if you win the lawsuit, you're never going to get the attorney fees and time back. Mm-hmm. So that's a big issue. Here's another issue, though, for businesses. A lot of them say, well, I have insurance to cover such things. Check really carefully, because there are certain things. For example, you know, your basic homeowner's policy does not cover earthquakes. Well, it's not real common in Minnesota, last I knew, to have an earthquake. But if they ever did, and you'd say, well, thank goodness we have what? You mean it's specifically included? That print was too small to read. Yeah. I mean, because that's a lot. I mean, insurance companies write the contracts and you just say, oh, okay, fine. I mean, what if 6 months ago someone had said, well, now, you know, Mr. McNeil, your donut shop's doing very well. Here's your business policy. And don't worry, it covers everything. And you said, well, it says here it doesn't cover global pandemics. No, when was the last time we had that? Spanish flu. Which is not accurate, but you get the idea. And you'd say, oh, yeah, that's right. What situation could I conceive of where the entire global economy will be shut down? Okay, I'm fine. Until now, you're not.
Mm-hmm. And I think we call it Kansas flu from here on out, because that's where it started. I'm for fair labeling laws. It is interesting we bring this up, Jeff, because Jim Jordan today, Republican, what I have said is this. The reason why Republicans want people back to work is they gave some people a benefit check. Most of the middle class and working class did not really get this benefit, or haven't gotten it yet. But we wrote one check, we're good. We've been giving billions, trillions to the biggest corporations and wealthiest executives. But you get one check, and we have no intent on giving you anything else. And they know that if people start getting evicted, people start dying, people lose their jobs, that sort of thing, that people are going to be looking about why them basically reopening the country gives them a level of cover. They can say, oh, well, we opened the business. You're just lazy that you didn't want to get to work, even though the business might not have opened. You couldn't find a job. You couldn't, you know, get someplace because of restrictions because of COVID-19. You know, there's a lot of things that are out there. But the real goal here, I think, is by reopening the country is then the Republicans have an excuse on why they don't give out another check. Well, we've reopened everything so you can go back to work.
And that can work to a degree, depending on how people actually are situated economically come September. And I'll say September because if we remember right, in 08, that was when the economy collapsed and that really changed the course of the campaign.
Yeah, late August. Yeah, it was late August that, I believe. And it was so, like, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's the sort of thing where I looked this up. The fiscal year 21 federal budget, okay, so that'd be for the fiscal year that I believe begins in October. They are anticipating $3.86 trillion of revenue for the entire year budget that makes up most of 2021, and that was pre-pandemic. The bill that the House is proposing right now is $3 trillion, in addition to $2 and $3 trillion that are already extra expenditures. So we were already going to have a deficit in the next fiscal year budget. We are looking at, in one piece of legislation, spending more than the entire revenue we anticipated as a country pre-pandemic in a 12-month period. I'm not saying it's not necessary. What I am saying is, where is this coming from? And I'm not saying we don't do things for people. Heaven knows, all right? I'm not going to give back, a government check because of the fact that my income was reduced, et cetera. But the point is that at some point we have to consider, all right, money's great. Is there a different way to provide relief? And that's where you get into these, tax holiday things and whatever. And a payroll tax holiday is great if you have a job. Well, what if you don't have a job?
Part of the problem they have is this, and we'll do a real quick thing before we're going to break here. But real quick, do you think we'll ever get to a point where the Republicans will have to consider raising the taxes on the wealthy? Because there's no – unless they'll have to get rid of Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, all that will have to be gone. Post office is gone. And then they're still looking at the middle and working class saying your tax rate is going to go up to 50%. At that point, there's going to be pitchforks and torches marching on Washington, D.C. if they don't raise – if they still are sitting there saying, but corporations are still at 0% in tax. And I think there's going to have to come that come-to-Jesus moment where they're going to have to say, well, we have to start taxing the wealthy at the fair rate.
First of all, and you know me long enough to know that I'm going to say this, first define for me what wealthy means, right? Because that is always the hook. They've got to be very specific about such things in a way that resonates with America. And the way that the Republicans, frankly, can get away with doing that and not lose their base is twofold. One, well, we're better than the Democrats, so don't abandon us. Where are you going to go over there? But the second thing is to say, hello, global pandemic. We need to do this on a limited basis because the old argument of cut taxes for corporations because they're the drivers of the economy and a rising tide lifts all boats, that's not going to fly when your boat is ashore.
Well,
you don't have a job.
Your boats are all sunk. That's the problem there, and that's a big problem. I'll tell you what, quick break. When we come back, yes. I want to talk Supreme Court when we do join. Jeff joins us after the break, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers is still open and there to help you find just about any book imaginable. But did you know Next Chapter Booksellers sells more than just books? They also have a wide variety of cards and puzzles that are perfect for these times when we're stuck inside. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 till 3, call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, Supreme Court hear the arguments this week in regards to Trump and whether or not he has to hand over his taxes to the Senate committee as well as also the prosecutor in New York City. Really, the case came under two different points. One was, can you have a criminal investigation into the president? Which, by the way, that's going to be a 9-0 ruling because if you heard any of the questions from the justices, they're like, no. But there does seem to be an interesting element that there might be an attempt to do some kind of wiggle room ruling on whether or not the taxes specifically have to get turned over, because the you know, like guys like Kavanaugh in the court were saying, we're throwing out these hypotheticals like medical records and stuff, and the guy for the legal counsel for the House was like, I don't know why you're going this way. I mean, this is not what we're talking about. We have the right to subpoena records, and it sounds like they might say, well, you can't get his tax records, but we're not going to say that you can't subpoena other records. And there's a lot of people wondering if that's what that Roberts and the rest of the Supreme Court Republicans are going to try to pull off. So a one-time ruling here, which I don't think would work.
I think it's going to be a one-time ruling, but in a different way. And here's why. A lot of the analysis pointed out that the Trump side, even, the Trump side acknowledged that the House does have permission to subpoena records like this, but their argument is it is overbroad and inappropriate in this particular situation. So in essence, they were not disputing the right that the House might have. They're saying it was misapplied in this situation. That, to me, is a much better argument to make to the Supreme Court if you're going to try to win, as opposed to throwing up your arms and waving and saying, they can't have anything. You say, well, you can, but not in this particular case. And some of the questioning from the justices with regard to medical records, again, I think what they're trying to do is fashion a general principle that gives the House power, but a specific ruling that says this is overbroad. And so it's not going to help those who want the tax records. But again, the fact that the president's side even said, well, yeah, we admit that they have this constitutional power. Well, that was a big deal. I mean, frankly.
They're flying in the face of that Nixon era ruling, which basically said, no, I think the House Ways and Means Committee chairman can see anyone's taxes, including the president's. There is no exception. That's a very clear line. I mean, I don't know how you're going to be able to thread a needle through something like that when basically there's no hole.
It's the best you have, Matt, because, okay, I'm the lawyer, and I see black letter laws, we used to call it. I don't know why, but that's what they called it, that it's very clear the House has this power. Okay, you either go in and say, well, your predecessors on the court, maybe some of you were wrong. Well, that's not a good way to get a court to agree with you. Mm-hmm. You're better to admit the precedent in a broad general sense and argue that this case is factually distinctive, and therefore you get the resolution you want. I mean, it's a better legal argument. It doesn't play as well in the court of public opinion, but now you're in the court of the Supremes, not the public opinion.
Well, and the constitutionalists, I think, are actually – that's the biggest problem for the Trump guys is the constitutionalists might say, no, that's not going to fly with us. You have to have checks and balances. We'll have to find out. I still think they'll find a way to let him off the hook. Jeff, once again, find his books at Next Chapter Books. He, of course, has got the Iowa Politics Report. I'll post that later. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week.
And I also agree with you on that analysis. Have a good week.
Thank you very much. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil.